We already welcomed you, so we're not still glad you're here either. Church council meeting today after church quickly. Mike came, and so we have a quorum. We can meet. So good thing you're here, Bulldog. Just real quickly, and then Wednesday night, our Bible study from 6 to 7, 1 Peter 1:10 following. And more of you are welcome to join us. We have a good time of study. And then, next Sunday, and he was planning to be here today, Hollis and Kathy were going to be back. They're back in a way. She's not well, so they're not with us today. But Hollis is going to be sharing a message next Sunday, so be in prayer for him and her also to get well. And as part of our worship service on two Sundays from today, won't it be? Two Sundays will be our annual business meeting, our church renewal service, as we call it. So we look forward to that. And is that it? That's it. One thing we didn't make a slide of, and I forgot again, is that on the table back there, along with the bulletins, are some information on the Safe Families for Children that we had a presentation from a couple Sundays ago. And so there's information there if you want to help yourselves to it, and a sign-up sheet if you feel like you want to volunteer for any way to help them. If you have any questions about it, just ask us, and we'll let you know. Anything else I'm forgetting? Nope. Okay, front of your bulletin depicts, now it's kind of interesting to me. My wife chose the graphic there that has something to do with Genesis, the story of Genesis, because we are going to be in Genesis today as part of our ongoing series. But the scripture is from Revelation. Wing, wing, from one end to the other. We are going to make that connection today, and so it's appropriate. And John the Revelator says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" And this we rejoice in as we come together to worship today, that we don't have to wait till heaven to declare that. We're going to declare it here today, that salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne. And we also are happy to welcome in D. Wayne and Gregory and Adam. Adam, just go ahead and sit on one of their laps. That'll work out okay. All right, I guess he doesn't want to do that. Shall we begin with prayer? Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for your love and your goodness and your faithfulness. As always, Lord, we are thankful to be able to come freely into your house and know that you're already here welcoming us. Thank you for each one that is here, and we pray your blessing in each heart and mind, mindful of many that are not with us today. We pray your healing touch for those that need it, and your grace and provision for whatever the other concerns, issues people may be dealing with. We're thankful, Lord, that we are united together by your Spirit, and so we are one. And we lift our voices as one today to declare that in you alone is salvation offered to us through your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Oh, you cut my wah-wah short.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you, as always, son Duane. Always. He knows how I roll. Okay, well, our apologies to those of you who are new with us today. We're just a little crazy, that's all. Just a little, not totally. In our, we're a very moving group, too. Normally, we'd have some children who had helped us and are going to children's church now, but that won't be necessary. Bailey, your room is available now. You just didn't have to go through all that. So anyway, we're glad for each of you who are here, those of you who are new. We introduced the new theme for the year, which is 2020 Vision in 2020. You have it in your bulletin there. And last week we talked about a number of people who were good examples of having 2020 Vision. Elisha, Job, Isaiah, Paul, as I recall. Well, that's good, isn't it, Bulldog? So anyway, and we're going to add a few more today. and keep adding as we go through this year and look at other examples of people who had 20/20 vision, how God can enable us to have 20/20 vision as well. And so we're going to be in the book of Genesis. I thought originally it would just be one message, but there's way too much there. And so this is number one here in Genesis, gleanings. What is a gleaning?
Gathering.
A gathering?
It's when you go around after the harvest.
Harvesting things, picking up the leftovers and that sort of thing. It also can have a secondary meaning to being able to understand or sift through things like that, as with the gleanings of the harvest. So that's kind of the thought this morning, and we're going to see some gleanings from a few folks in Genesis this morning that had eye-opening experiences, Adam and Eve and Abraham in particular, and then we'll have some more. Next week, Hollis is going to be sharing something different. We'll get back to Genesis in a couple of weeks. No, it'll be 3 weeks until we get back to Genesis. Hang in there, Genesis. We'll get it all the way to Revelation eventually. And so we're going to begin this morning with what I like to call Adam's awareness through Eve's eyes. Isn't that an interesting take on it? They both came to an awareness. Both of their eyes were open. And so it works both ways for both of them, and I hope for us as well, that we will have some awareness come to our eyes as we look at their example. You remember the story in the garden. God had put Adam and Eve there, and he told them they could eat of anything in the garden except for that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat from that tree. If you do, you will die. Well, Satan came along as the serpent, and Eve's there, and he says, you know, what was it that God said to you? And we kind of pick up the reading from there, Genesis 3. Alan, please. This is what Satan said to Eve.
You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.
Now, what's wrong with wanting to have your eyes opened and to know the difference between good and evil and gaining wisdom? Well, really nothing, but that wasn't really what Satan was tempting Eve with. It was really, oh, you think God's the only one, huh? Not true. You too. In other words, you can be like God. You can be God. You can be your own God. You can know as much or maybe more than God himself. And that was the temptation that Eve gave into. And it's been our problem ever since to want to think that we can know as much or know maybe sometimes more than God himself. That we have a 20/20 vision that is equal to or maybe greater. Self-pride comes in. We want to be our own God. The Lord was trying to preserve them from eating that tree because when they did, they would see who they were. And evil would come into the world. He wanted to keep it perfect. He wanted to keep it only holy. But once they ate from that fruit of wanting to take God's place, basically, like Satan had, and was trying to, and Satan is still trying to get more people to join his crowd. That's what he's doing, even to this day. And so once they ate of that, then they became aware of the difference between good and evil. Then they saw themselves for who they were. And as I said, we still have that problem to this day. How we see things, how we see God, how we see ourselves, how we see each other has been all messed up since that day. And so we need a regaining of the 20/20 vision. that we see only like God sees, and from a pure perspective, a holy, perfect perspective. We're going to regain that, and we do regain that through what Jesus has done for us. But it got all messed up with Adam's awareness through Eve's eyes and vice versa. And so it was necessary then, of course, and God already knew Adam and Eve were going to blow it and that he was going to have to go to the ultimate plan that had already been laid out before the time began. And that was, of course, Jesus. And it was Jesus who came to help us regain that 2020 vision. And we hear him declare in John's Gospel 11 and 14.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Jesus, physically. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Yeah, and I had forgotten to highlight there that the Lord said to them after this happened that he must also not reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life than to eat forever. But because once they were in the fallen state, the Lord did not want them to stay in that fallen state forever. A tree of life remains available for us only through who? And so Jesus came to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so that which God has reserved for us is brought to us only through Jesus, who he provided for us. Paul then would later draw the contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam, who is Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15.
"For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was out of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man."
Yes, so Adam stands as a representative of the fall and of sin and all of the bad things that come from that. Jesus stands as the second Adam, the Adam who brings life, who brings renewal, who brings an ability to heal and recover from all that the first Adam did. And we will also bear the image of the second Adam, the Adam of life. What God intended from the beginning is now made possible through Jesus. And so for those of us who accept him and all that he's done for us, then he gives us the right to eat of the tree of life in heaven. We see this in Revelation 2 following.
"Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city."
Yeah. And my wife has liked to point this out from time to time, the connection between Genesis from the very beginning and to the very end of the tree of life, and that it's only through Jesus himself that we gain the right to that tree of life that was restricted from what happened in the fall. And so we open our hearts in awareness and with clear eyes of understanding what God has made possible for us through his Son. And when we accept him and we receive that, we even now, we don't have to wait till heaven to eat from the tree of life. He said, "Whoever believes in me has gained life, life everlasting." It begins the moment you receive Jesus in the life. You're eaten from the fruit of the tree of life in him, abundant life. And it continues for eternity. And it is for the healing of the nations, for the healing of what the first Adam did, and what we need in our own lives today. And so we celebrate that awareness, that 2020 vision that God gives us through the first and the second Adam. Yes? Okay. Let's go on to celebrate what he has to show us through. There you go. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thank you. All right, so next we jump forward to Abraham, who God gave 2020 vision, and this is going to be interesting. Look at, what do you think belongs in the middle there of that parentheses? Can you see around me? Huh? Ha! Yeah, was that fun? You want to do that with me? One, two, three. Ha! Okay, so Abraham's offspring. Now you probably think offspring belongs there, but it's not offspring, it's offspring. Abraham had an aha moment. He was in awe of what God showed him, and we're going to share that this morning. It begins, of course, he was Abram to begin with, and then became Abraham. We're going to see why that happened, but let's begin in Genesis 13.
The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you."
Yeah. Imagine Abraham. Here he is, not quite yet 99 years old, but he's going to get there. And Sarah, 90, no children. And so he's feeling deserted. But God gives him, says, look. Look at all this around here. I'm giving you all of this. If you can count all the dust of the earth, that's how many offspring you're going to have. That's awe-spring. That's awe-spring. Later, God gives Abram a second version of this vision in Genesis 15.
After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Yeah. So not only the dust of the earth, but all the stars of the heavens. This is going to be your offspring. So he gives him the ability to look at what he's offering to him, what's going to take place. Much later, when he turns 99, God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. We see why in Genesis 17.
When Abe was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. No longer will you be called Abe. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations."
Okay, so Abram means exalted father. Abraham means the father of many nations. And so God was extending Abraham's name, made it a little bit longer, but to signify what it means and that promise that he gave to him and what would be fulfilled through Christ, the seed of Abraham himself, and how it affects us today. So we're reminded by the psalmist that children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from him. Abraham was rewarded because he believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. And so he was able to receive the reward that God had offered to him. We are in the same boat. God will credit our belief in him, our faith in him, in Jesus specifically, as righteousness. And he will give to us offspring as well. And so we see this in Genesis, this knowledge of this overall point that we're making reminds us of our own offspring that we can be a part of and claim today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
It was not through the law that Abraham and his offsprings received the promise.
Hold it. But I am sorry. That was my bad. Go ahead and read that.
Read which
what you were reading.
Let's start all over. Okay.
My bad. Romans.
It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offsprings, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all of us.
Yes, and so what I said earlier, apply it now to having that had been read before. Got it? Repeat it? Okay, so not only Abraham has the privilege to have offspring, according to Paul here, we can receive the same promise. We are Abraham's offspring. If we have faith like Abraham, we also will be considered of righteousness and have the ability to be the father, the mother of many children. Okay, in the Lord, of course, we're talking about. This knowledge then changes our point of view on the world, on other people, on how everything operates in our lives. And we see this then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please.
So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Well done, Bulldog. Yes, you like that reconciled word, don't you? You'll be reconciled to it if you keep working on it. Just keep reading it. It'll come to us. And so Paul makes it clear that if we have the faith of Abraham and we are Christ's agents, we're his ambassadors, we are his Abrahams, we're out there reconciling the world to God, making children, making offspring in our lives as well, having the same experience that Abraham was blessed to have, kind of in a more direct way because of what Jesus has done. And that we are his agents, we're his ambassadors. We've changed our view, he says, on the view of everyone, a worldly point of view. We have God's understanding, we have his view of people. And so our hearts are open to being used by God to share his loving message, a message of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of starting over, starting new. And as I said last Sunday, a lot of times I struggle this when we deal with people that have messed up lives and we want to be judgmental or critical. That's not God's view. That's not his worldview. That's not his point of view. And if we really are seen with 20/20 vision, we're going to see those people by God's grace and that they are, opportunities for his reconciliation. And we are agents of that. We are Abraham, today's Abrahams, making those offspring through Jesus Christ. Paul, did you say amen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, didn't want to cover that up. Paul spoke about his own spiritual children in his letters, especially Timothy. This is in 1 Corinthians 4.
I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church.
Bulldog, I love you even though you really mess up sometimes. I'm glad because I'm not the only one then. Thank you for that. So Paul is saying, you're my dear children. He's writing to his dear children. You might have lots of guardians, but you only have one father. It's me through Jesus. And I love you like my children, and Timothy especially, my son in the faith. I'm going to have him come and help you as well. Paul spoke like this in these terms very often. We can have the same understanding, the same affection for those that we've been privileged to have a part in. He goes on in Galatians and 1 Thessalonians about this.
My children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. For you know that we dealt with each other as father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you unto his kingdom and glory.
Yes, and so Paul goes on about his dear children. Isn't it interesting how he talks about being in the pains of childbirth? Here's Paul, he's a guy, he's not married, he doesn't have real children of his own, and yet he seems to have an understanding of that pain of childbirth. You women are nodding your head, been there, oh, you guys have no idea. Paul is saying, spiritually speaking, Paul has suffered very really as giving birth to his children, and that happens again and again sometimes when we have to keep nurturing our children. And I don't know if you mothers here have felt like you were going through labor again sometimes in an emotional or a spiritual way because of things that you're dealing with your children. But that's what Paul is expressing here. And so the offspring that we have sometimes can be pretty painful, but it's still very real, as both Abraham and Paul had talked about. The Apostle John jumps on board as well. He was very repetitious in his speaking of those he wrote to as his children in 3 John 3 and 4.
It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Yeah, and I've often cited that reference to our own daughter, Johnine, our biological daughter, but she's also our spiritual daughter because we had the privilege of leading her to the Lord, and that is still a precious memory. When she was how old? Do you remember? 4? She was also, as with me, and so that's a great blessing, but we've had the privilege to give birth, so to speak, to a lot of people spiritually as well, and so there is no greater joy than this awesome offspring that God enables us to be a part of, that is part of the line of Abraham all the way down. So ultimately, the offspring of Abram, who became Abraham, Paul, Timothy, John, all the way down through many, many people to us today, will comprise that great multitude that no one can count in heaven. We see this in Revelation 7 again. We read it earlier, but repeat, please.
After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb."
It is, of course, God himself who makes all of this possible. It is an awesome God who enables us to be in awe of him and have awe spring forever that we will rejoice in. Can you imagine when we get to heaven how glorious that's going to be? Just partially kind of described here in the book of Revelation. And there is a song that in my mind expresses this probably better than any song. It's a song by Ray Bolts that says, "Thank You." It talks about those who have given of themselves in order for someone else to experience the Lord, not only now, but for eternity. And we say thank you to those people. And so I want to stand here today and say thank you, well, to a lot of people in my life. But it goes back to mom and dad, of course. That's where it began. And yesterday was the 22nd anniversary of dad's death. And so that date sticks in my mind, and I have, you know, some extra reflection. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to thank him. I'm going to thank mom. I'm going to thank a lot of people. But you know the Ray Bolt song, and it says, "Look around you, great is your reward." Can there be any greater source of blessing than that, and joy to know that you were somehow used by God for an awesome sight in heaven? The countless numbers that are there, Abraham's offspring, were a part of that. Hopefully we can get a whole lot more there. That's my prayer. So this song is not only in gratitude to say thank you to someone else, but it's also, I'm committing myself to be used like Abraham was and others were used, so that there will be a great reward. Not because I'm selfish, just because God has planted it in my heart, and it's a source of the greatest joy possible. And so I encourage each one of you as well. I want to say with gratitude, thank you to each one of you who have been a part of blessing my life. But also, let's commit ourselves together to be part of that offspring growing, shall we? All right, we stand together as we sing this song. As always, the altars are open if you desire to pray here.
As the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
First of all, Father, we have to thank you. You're the one that gave. You gave your one and only Son. Your love was so awesome and great, undeserved. A lot of us just end up spitting on your love, joining the crowd that cries, crucify him, crucify him. Father, forgive us when we do that sometimes, either in word or by our choices. Thank you that your love is so much greater. Your grace is greater than all of our sin. You are the one who first gave. And so when we receive that love, we can't help but want to give in return. Give back to you. Give to others in your name. Be used by you to be a part of that awesome offspring that you promised to Abraham. Once again, I find myself falling short of words. And I think we're all in that spot. And so once again, we say, listen to our hearts. Just listen to our hearts. We give you our hearts anew today. We give ourselves to you today. Forgive us whatever is needed. Restore us, cleanse us, renew us. Help us, Lord, to be used and usable by you as your Spirit enters in and as we allow you to truly be Lord of our lives. Thank you for Jesus, who is willing to do it. Gave himself freely. Didn't have to, but he wanted to, and he still wants to through us. Thank you, Lord. And we lift up those to you today who we love and care for and are missing. Again, for a number that aren't filled.